Wait for it.
There's no need to wait, geeks. We are back. This is the Active Geek Podcast with your host Jim and Chuck. And Chuck, this is what seems to be DC month, because I feel like our last three episodes have been maybe four episodes. No, because Shang-Chi happened between Suicide Squad and Why the Last Man. But we've been talking a lot of DC, and normally it's us shitting on DC.
Yeah.
But as of late, we've talked high, given them high praise, obviously, with the Suicide Squad and Why the Last Man. Episode 5 dropped this week, so if you haven't watched it, go and watch it. But that's not what we're here to talk about. This is our last DC episode for what may be a while, because we've got a lot of Marvel, Disney discussions coming up. Nope, I'm lying. Next, in 2 weeks, we got DC. My God, we've got a lot of DC. This is like the world of DC podcast now. But this is Doom Patrol season 3. Three episodes are out currently. We're going to vaguely talk about the three that are out. So spoiler alert, because we're going to jump all over the place. But before we get into that, I'd like to talk about another DC movie, because a few months ago, this little trailer went under the radar, I think, for a lot of people. And you and I have been talking about an animated adaptation of the comics slash video game for quite some time.
Yeah.
And that is Injustice. And oh my Lord, I watched this trailer for what may have been the 30th time today. And I can't get over how good it is. But then I look at the cast and I'm like, these are all kind of newbies when it comes to the DC animated universe, in my mind.
Yeah.
Jillian Jacobs as Harley Quinn, Anson Mount getting another chance to play a superhero. He's playing Batman. Laura Bailey is going to be Lois Lane. Justin Hartley is playing Superman. Kevin Pollak is the Joker. Oliver Hudson's going to be in it. Yuri Lowenthal. I mean, it's got a really, really good cast. What did you think of this trailer? Because honestly, I am absolutely blown away from this trailer. It's so good.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking about for a while, go back almost 200 episodes to episode 73.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah. 73, May 10th, 2017, we dropped that. And we did an Injustice episode. And it was the hype for Injustice 2 video game. And we talked about the comics. We talked about the first video game and then preview the second video game. And I think even back then we were like, this needs to be adapted. Again, I'm pretty sure, I haven't listened to the episode in a long time, but I'm pretty sure we talked about being animated, because I don't think this could be a live action.
No. Well, I mean, it could be. It kind of looked like that's where Justice League Snyder Cut was going, right?
A little bit.
With Superman having, I believe that's exactly where it was going, if I'm not mistaken. Superman had already killed, no, Joker wasn't dead yet. It looked like Batman was kind of hiding the Joker maybe from Superman.
Yeah.
Which was a cool little twist. But, you know, like you said, episode 72, which I don't even think we were recording on microphones back then. But we've been talking, whenever we talk about DC animated movies, we've constantly asked the same question. What are your top five stories that need to be adapted? And, you know, two of which usually stay the same. And that's
This and Metal.
This and Metal, exactly. And it's about damn time that we got this. We're one step closer to the Metal story, maybe universe, that we've been looking forward to. But overall, with this trailer, what did you like? What stood out to you?
I like the animation, because I think it's a tad different than we're used to getting. It looks great, but like, Joker's drawn a different way.
It was very like a cross between the animated Batman series with Mark Hamill and the Brave and the Bold, where he's kind of more of like demonic than person.
Yeah.
And he's got like the locks. I don't know. Yeah,
I know what you're
talking about. I don't know which version they're going with here. I like it. It was very cool.
What I think, because remember, was it last year they said, oh, we're ending the DC animated universe, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then
they're rebooting it, yeah.
And so I think all that animation style was the same. Now, it looks great, but I think what they did, they slightly tweaked it a little bit. And I agree. And that's what I noticed first. I was like, okay, this is not the normal, you know, everything else that we got before. The cast sounds great. And like you said, it was a newbie. And I'm looking forward to seeing this so much because there's so much they can do with it.
And it looks like they're really capturing that, right? They're going R, which is always great.
Yeah.
They're really going heavy on Superman stories in this new DCEU animated universe. And they you know, they're peppering in Batman, but they're really going heavy on on Superman. I like that they're painting him as a villain because I think for a lot of people outside of, you know, tier one active geeks, they may not know about the Injustice storyline. They don't know. They maybe heard about the video game. They're like, oh, it's Superman Mortal Kombat, but they don't really know, like, the story behind it and how, like, Tom Taylor got this on, like, New York Times bestseller. You know what I mean? Like, this is one of those comics that, like, is iconic when it comes to storylines. And the fact that they're going to bring it to the main public is amazing.
Well, also, too, you know, how many people out there don't play the storyline of the video game and they're just, oh, we're just going to fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, my AG loves the Injustice video games. Never played storyline. She has no idea that Superman's bad.
Yeah.
It's
15 minutes of storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played it at my apartment when we first got it, or when I got it, and I think we went through it in like an hour. That's when time didn't matter. Time was just a construct back then.
Yeah. Now it matters.
Yeah, it really does.
But the whole thing is like a lot of casual people. Like a lot of the Mortal Kombat games that I have, I don't play story mode. You know, when I was younger, a lot of those games were just, hey, friends come over on a Friday night, we have a couple drinks, and we just beat each other in Mortal Kombat or whatever it is. So I think a lot of people don't know the storyline because if you don't read the comics and you played a video game, you might not play the storyline itself. So the fact is that a lot of people, I don't think, know that Superman went bad.
It's a great addition to the DC universe.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked. Comes out October 19th. We'll probably review this at some point, probably in November. We got a lot of stuff coming out, man, between Dune and the Eternals and Disney Halloween. You know, who knows? We might even do a bonus episode and throw it in there because this is something that you and I have been talking about for a bit now. But let's go into some news. We've got a TV season announcement and a movie announcement that let's start with this TV. The Witcher, we love it.
Yeah.
It was top five of our favorite shows of 2019. Getting season three. Now, season two comes out in December, but it's getting a season three. I can't wait. I just wanted to make sure everybody who is a Henry Cavill fan and a Witcher fan knows that season three is on the way. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, Netflix has put a lot of stock in The Witcher with the animated stuff. And, you know, this is their franchise. Like, you know, I don't want to compare it to Game of Thrones because I don't think it is. But to me, this is their Game of Thrones. Like, they're putting all their eggs in their basket with The Witcher, and I think they should.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great first season. Season two, from what I'm seeing, is going to be great. I love the video games. I'm pumped about this. I'm reading some of the comics. I'm catching up on the comics to kind of get more into the lore. But I'm here for it. And then there's this movie that, honestly, when you texted me, it was like, you said, did you see the cast? And I was like, yeah. And when I read Super Mario Brothers movie, I was like, I didn't know they were making a live action movie. And I was like, I feel like this is something I would have known. And then I saw the cast and I'm like, this is certainly not a live action movie because how in the world does this cast fit into that universe?
It does not.
But it's an animated movie, which I'm here for. Any Mario content that we can get is great, especially with a star-studded cast like this. So let's just do a little roll call here. We've got Chris Pratt playing Mario.
Yeah.
Charlie Day playing Luigi. Anya Taylor-Joy playing Princess Peach. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad.
Great.
We've got... Yeah, that's good. That is a great casting. We've got Jack Black playing Bowser. Mm-hmm. And we've got Seth Rogen playing Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is I think they totally missed the mark on the Mario casting. It should have been Danny DeVito and Charlie. They already have a chemistry. Danny DeVito looks like Mario at this point in his life, and I feel like that should have been the casting. But overall, this is an absolute star-studded cast. What do you think of the castings?
I think it's great. At first, I was a little concerned with Chris Pratt. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, me too.
Is he just doing, you know, the guy from Lego Movie? And then I saw a video where he talked about it, and he said he's working on his Italian accent. I was like, okay. Like, he's not going in there going, I'm doing a Chris Pratt voice. Like, he's going to try anyway, hopefully, to do a Italian accent. He goes, it's not ready. And yeah, he seems like he's a big fan of it, so I think, I hope that he would try to stay true to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's getting paid Nintendo dollars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's big money because Nintendo is, you know, been out since the early 80s. So this is one of those things where if this is good, this is your next big animated non-Disney franchise.
Oh, no.
You know, this is Despicable Me. This is Shrek. This is, I guess, Hotel Transylvania and the Addams Family. But, like, this could be bigger than anything that's animated that's not Disney.
No.
And I think it's a good move to get these castings. And I think they got most of them right. Seth Rogen is perfect as Donkey.
Yeah.
Or as Donkey Kong. Charlie Day, I think, is going to be perfect as Luigi. It's the Chris Pratt casting. I don't even know, like, does Mario have to have an Italian accent at this point, right? They're plumbers from New York or New Jersey, right? So do you have to be stereotypical and have the, it's-a me, like, you know? I say yes.
I do.
Because that's the Mario I grew up on. But I know that we're kind of like in, like, this cancel culture where, like, the Sons of Italy could get upset that Chris Pratt's not an Italian man playing an Italian man. So yeah. I don't know where they stand with that. But this casting, like, the casting news came out of nowhere, and I'm super pumped about it.
Yeah.
I love Super Mario.
And, like, they're pushing, Universal's pushing this hard because, one, it's done by Illumination, which is, you know,
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me, Minions. Also, when I was in California, in Universal Hollywood, they're building...
Humble brag.
What?
Humble brag.
But no, what I'm saying is, when I was there, they are making a Super Mario world.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Universal has to at this point, right? Because they're going to lose the rights to, especially in Florida, they're going to lose the rights to the Marvel characters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how long have they contracted that from Disney? You know what I mean?
I have no idea. And they need that. You know what I mean? They need, like, the part, as parks itself, they need to compete with Disney. And
absolutely.
You know, like in California, they have Star Wars Land, Marvel's Land, like Universal's got, and Universal is in Hollywood, and I know you've been to the one in Florida, is way smaller. And like,
yeah, they've got Transformers and Fast and the Furious and the Mummy. Nobody gives a shit about the Mummy anymore.
They have the Harry Potter world, but it's like very, very, very small.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
No.
So they need Nintendo to come over there. There's a huge Asian population on the West Coast, so that could really, like, bolster it. Like, you know, and plus, like, you know, Nintendo in Japan is huge. They have their own, you know, land over there, right?
Have you seen what it looks like?
Oh, it looks amazing. It's so awesome.
If they can recreate, and I'm sure they will, because, you know, Universal's Universal. They do the same in all their parks. But, like, if they can create what they did in Japan in Hollywood, and I'm guessing they'll probably be doing one in Florida, it is phenomenal.
Yeah, and, like, how often does, like, the family of five or the family of four get a chance to go to Japan?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all these kids growing up and us growing up on Super Mario and Donkey Kong and these characters, we may never get a chance to go to Japan and experience that. So having it come to the States, selfish on my part, having it come to Florida, which is closer, makes better sense to me. So, you know, we could be here and discuss, like, the future of theme parks, but we've got a podcast to talk about, my friend. And maybe that's a future episode, the future of theme parks. But let's go into my picks of the week. Because, very quick, I only have two. I'm not plugging that Batman werewolf story anymore. I cut it out of the last episode because I don't like the way that they tried to trick me into reading something that was illegible. So let's start with Marvel. We've got one. It's called Inferno, number 1 of 4. It's written by Jonathan Hickman with art from Valerio Schirti. The culmination of Jonathan Hickman's X-Men begin here. There will be an island, not the first, but the last. Promises were made and broken. The rulers of Krakoa have been playing a dangerous game with a dangerous woman, and they are about to see how badly that can burn them. Mastermind of the X-Men, Jonathan Hickman brings his plans to a head, joined by the incredible lineup of artists, beginning with Valerio Schirti, as one woman follows through on her promise to burn the nation of Krakoa to the ground. You haven't been reading a bunch of X-Men stuff.
No, I haven't gotten X-Men comic in a long time.
And they've been good. Hickman's stories have been pretty great, but there's been a lot of them. Is this anything that kind of interests you, or are you too lost in the sauce to play catch-up?
Yeah, I think I'm too far behind.
I hear you. I'm going to give it a shot. It looks cool. I've, you know, reading through, like, Secret Empire and a little bit of, you know, Absolute Carnage, they've talked about Krakoa. So, and I guess, what was the one that just, Extreme Carnage? No, there was another one with Venom. Oh, King in Black. They did some X-Men tie-ins. So I'm going to give it a shot just because I want to see where it's at. The covers are dope. The covers are amazing. I saw one that was like half like Mystique as Mystique, and the other half was like a skeleton, like, and half her face was burned. Cool. I thought that was pretty sick. So I'm going to pick it up and try and find that cover. And it's probably like a 1 of 25 or something crazy like that. But the last one, because there's only two this week, is a DC comic. As we talked, Doom Patrol. This one's called Deathstroke Incorporated.
I've seen the preview for that. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Just the characters alone in this already have like my Spidey sense. Pardon my crossover. But after suffering too many losses, Slade Wilson decides it's time for a change. When he's enlisted to work with an ages-old secret organization called Trust, who want to take down the heavy hitter villains, he's all in. They'll supply him with an all-new team and resources for his new mission into the depths of the wildest part, weirdest parts of DCU, including a new partner, Black Canary.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Enjoy explosions, kick-ass action, and new outrageous adventures as DC's meanest son of a bitch gets tangled up in a major mystery building in the shadows of the DCU. I'm here for it. This is probably the first DC title that I've been excited for in months.
I love in the synopsis said, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, Jim's going to read this, and here's your opportunity. Chuck, wait, what? That was your line, but you missed it. You missed the cue. It's okay.
No, it looks great. I forget what I was reading the other day, but I saw the ad for it, and I was like, whoa, you know, it was Deathstroke, and then it showed Black Canary. I was like, wow, them teaming up together? I was like, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for that one. So that's they're my picks of the week. I'm excited for them. You should be excited for them. And support your local comic book shops because they need it. Let's talk Doom Patrol. Spoiler territory to follow as we talk about DC's weirdest, wildest, and most confusing television show out there right now.
Because
when you look at like the CW stuff, everybody's fast in that universe. For the most part, all the characters are being wasted in that universe. So yep. We'll move over to HBO Max and we'll talk about the first three episodes loosely of Doom Patrol. Episode 1, Possibilities Patrol, essentially was the season finale of season 2. We know that it got cut short because of COVID. They had to wrap up everything. They had to wrap up the stuff with Dorothy and the Candlemaker. They had to wrap up stuff with Jane and Daddy, which makes me feel filthy for saying that. But they had to wrap that up. And they did. Fairly quick.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know they had to do it because of, you know, the cut short of COVID and stuff. But yeah, it was very like an hour episode or the first 15 minutes, wrapped it up, boom, okay, move on.
Yeah. Like when they're like, oh yeah, we can be friends, Candlemaker. We don't have to fight anymore. You helped me once back when we saw our buddy Mark Ashworth on episodes one of season two. He's like, oh yeah, you helped me once. Let's go back into the imagination and we'll be friends forever. And that's literally what happens at this point.
Yeah.
You know, we're three episodes in and Candlemaker is more of Dorothy's bodyguard. But the big thing that kind of goes unknowing or, well, overlooked is that Niles is dead.
Yeah, and super weird that, like, she had him covered in, like, frozen peas and...
Well, she was trying to save him.
Yeah.
Keep the body cold so he doesn't rot, so they can find a way to save him, which is a very, like, advanced thing to do. I mean, she's, what, a couple hundred years old, so it was a weird scene for sure. And I, you know, I'm sure, you know, Timothy Dalton was like, this is a look into my future, but... I wasn't surprised when he died. I was surprised more when he came back as a Force ghost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we get it. Like, the house is haunted. The sex ghosts are still floating around, banging, and Niles is about to join them, and then he gets poofed away. Was there anything that really stuck out so far in what we've seen in the first episode?
In the first episode? No, I mean, like I said, like, I kind of surprised they killed him, like, that quick.
Yeah.
But in the first episode, no, like, it was okay. You know, we get to see Cliff trying to be a grandpa.
Yeah, I'm, kind of over Robot Man.
Yeah.
I think Brendan Fraser is my least favorite of the characters. Well, no, Larry sucks. I don't really like Larry.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite, I really like Jane.
Jane's great. I mean, that scene with her fighting Daddy was amazing. Yeah.
When
he's like a giant jigsaw puzzle?
The CGI was a little weird.
I mean, for sure. Like, he's a jigsaw puzzle, and that plane was like a... It looked like they were filming Jurassic Park in the 90s. Like, that was a miniature plane that they were just pushing, like Polly Pockets in.
And I like Rita.
You know, I do too. Like, I think April Bowlby is amazing.
Oh, she's great.
But I feel like Rita is just, like, pointless at this point. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, what we saw at the end of the episode was Niles gave her, quote-unquote, the keys. You know?
Yeah.
She's in charge now.
But now she's a sack of goop in a bag.
Yeah, that
you
that
know
was,
what I mean?
That was pretty funny when she was, you know, they're doing a play about the Doom Patrol. And, you know, obviously she's not telling anyone that she is a last of... girl, woman, or whatever they call her.
No, she's the beekeeper.
Yeah. And she freaks out and then just... And then they start yelling at her, like, ah, get off the stage, you know.
Get out of here, freak. Like, you just saw what she did to your town. Do you really want to piss this woman off? That's like yelling, calling King Kong a smelly ape. You know what I mean? Like, they just, like... That whole town sucks. Like, so they deserved what they got. And their play was trash.
Oh, it was awful.
They went back and they showed it. That play was garbage. But to Rita's point, to your point with Rita, like, she gets the key, she gets the call, nothing happens. She turns into a blob. And then, you know, here's my thing about this show. We're going to be all over the place, but
it is all over the show.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
The thing about this is, like, I don't know where I stand on it as far as, like, do I love the series or do I enjoy it? You know what I mean? And I draw the line between the two because there's series that I love, Arrow, mm-hmm. Ted Lasso, and then there's series that I enjoy, which was like Stargirl.
And Legends.
And Legion. No. Don't enjoy that or love it. I loathe that one if we're being honest. But like this is a series that like it takes me back a little bit to like the old Buffy Supernatural days where it was like villain of the week.
Yeah. The one thing I have with this show, like it is all over the place. I enjoy it. I don't love this show, but it does have the villain of the week tone to it. And it's like, I don't know if this is the right place for that.
I mean, we're what, 3 episodes in, and there's been at least like 6 or 7 villains.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how many more D-list characters can they get? And like, to the point where, like, who's the villain in this? You know, last season we thought it was the Candlemaker when it actually was Niles because he's a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. This year, like, is the Doom Patrol, like, they're not heroes, right? So the Doom Patrol, in my mind, aren't heroes at this point.
No.
They're just kind of screw-ups that just kind of exist.
I think Madame Rogue is going to be the main villain, only because they've peppered her in all the episodes.
Yeah, but, like, we don't really know much about her other than the fact that she's Mole Man from the...
Incredibles.
The Incredibles.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool scene.
You know? I do like that she can change forms. And, like, she appeared as April in the second episode.
As Rita. Well, I mean, yeah.
April. You know what I meant. Rita, April, yeah. Same person. What did you, like, so, like I said, we're going to kind of jump all over, but when we did our little preview of the trailer, we talked about 2 characters in particular, Mala and the Brain.
Yeah.
We got them for a cup of coffee.
I'm hoping they come back. I mean...
When Gargamel from the Smurfs shows up, looking like Brainiac.
What is it, Gargalax or...
Gargamax or something like that. Yeah, and him and Billy Boyd.
Which, when Billy Boyd is not in the IMDb credits.
Yeah, yes, he is now.
Oh, he wasn't the other day.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't, because I was like, is that Billy Boyd? Yeah, but he played Samuelson. And then Gargoax is played by Stephen Murphy. And like, when he pops up, I'm like, what in the hell is happening? Did they just call this guy Eater of Worlds? Like, that's Galactus, number one. So let's pump the brakes there. But number two, like, when he is introduced, he reads the paper and it says Doom Patrol stops, you know, Legion of Doom. So I'm assuming that they're dead.
I looked at it as he's been there since the 60s. So that was the original Doom Patrol.
Yeah, so where's Mala and the Brain? How does Flex Mantillo and that Doom Patrol, who are walking around like Speed Racer, how do they beat Mala and the Brain?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think we're getting them again.
The way they did Mala was great.
Yeah, they looked awesome.
They looked amazing. When
you know, they have Jonathan Lippow as the voice of Mala, right? I think that's it. As far as IMDb goes, that's it. He's in one episode. We're gone.
He has
more episodes.
That's a disappointment.
He has more episodes in Star Wars Visions than anything else. And, I mean, maybe that's IMDb playing coy and saying, like, we got to work our way through this. But this is a very Red Jack situation for me.
Yeah.
With this series.
And I think Mala is a little more, I wouldn't say.
You watch Young Justice, that's a big character.
Yeah, he's more known than Red Jack and Madame Rogue.
Yeah.
Gargalax, Gargamax, whatever the hell his name is.
Yep. Yep. Samuelson, who gets the turret gun and starts launching at everybody. And you know, this is where I stand with this series. Like, I like it, right? But I feel like every season is the same shit. You know what I mean?
They're
all flawed characters. The character progression, the only character who's progressed to a point where I'm excited about is Danny. Who went from a street to a brick to an ambulance. You know what I mean? Danny's like the Animorphs book, where it starts as a kid and he kind of works his way into an animal form. That's Danny. Cliff, still terrible, right? Kind of going through what may be Parkinson's at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Vic is a criminal, not Cyborg, because he wants to help his criminal girlfriend. Larry's out there on an acid trip with the negative force. April can't control her powers. And Jane is still losing her mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't evolved these characters. They've just given the exact same storyline for 3 seasons. And, like, are we supposed to care that Cliff's a good father at this point? No.
Well,
I'd rather see Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man show up.
I... so do I. He's still out there. He's running around somewhere. I think their goal is just let's throw every weird character, every weird situation we can do, and here we go. Like, it's kind of how I say, like, the reason I don't like a lot of horror movies is because they just throw a lot of boobs and blood in there and just say, okay, here it is.
Two of my favorite things.
Boobs and blood. But and then doesn't have a storyline. Like, but with this, I feel they just throw, or we're just going to not really have much of a story, but just throw all these weird characters out there, and we're just going to be so different and so out there and so crazy, and this is what we are. And I don't think it's working. Like, it's okay. The show's, I like it, but it's, there's no storyline.
There's no end game.
Yeah, there's no, it's just like, let's just throw everything we can at the wall.
Yeah, and like, listen, the side characters, like Gargamax and, you know, Mr. Negative and all these characters, like the villains, I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Shepard's character, who essentially is going to, you know, he's got Niles' head and he's going to try and reincarnate him. I enjoy that. Crowley, like, I enjoy all that. I enjoy the side characters. But what this show has given us is given us five characters who over half of them you probably don't like because there's really not a lot of redeeming qualities to them, who are trying to find their feet in the world. But I like that. I like the evolution in characters, but if you're not giving me the storyline to evolve your characters, you lost me. April's been the same person since the 30s. Larry, since World War II. You know what I mean? These people, like those two characters that they're focusing on, have had decades to evolve, and they still haven't evolved. Jane is the most promising one out of the team, because she's finally defeated Daddy. Kay's out of the cage, and the underground is more controlled. You know what I mean? And then there, you know, Victor, who again doesn't fit the Doom Patrol,
not at all.
And they've dumbed down Cyborg. He has potential because we know who Cyborg is. But I feel like where they give us cool villain stories, they're not really taking the characters that we're supposed to like and running with them. I care more about the side characters like Mala and the Brain and, you know, even Gargamax. I thought he was cool. Like, I like when he just showed, like, Billy Boyd showing up with, like, the old, you know, record player. Like, oh, he's either worlds and he's just walking into a buffet. Like, I like that. I thought that was cool. And it is super weird, and I like super weird, but there has to be a payoff. And if the payoff is I like two out of five main characters, I don't think it's, you know, it's not very redeemable to me.
No, it's not.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to in the future for this, just based off of, you know, where we're at three episodes in? Like, this should probably be the last season for the show. I think it actually might be. Is there anything for the future, what, 7 or 8 episodes, maybe 10 episodes that you want to see?
Maybe wrap it up and actually have some kind of story to it. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm really, the only thing I'm seeing is probably going to get more weird characters.
I mean, I'm okay with that. Like, if DC wants to kind of just blow their load on weird characters, like, use their quota of weird characters in Doom Patrol, that would never get a shot in, you know, their extended universe. I'm here for it. But for me, I mean, it's mainly just on the lines of what you have. Like, I really need to see this team come together. And it can't be, like, episode 9 out of 10 or episode 10 where they finally come together and we're left on a cliffhanger with a show who might not get renewed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be like at the end, the Doom Patrol is facing off with the League of Villains, or, you know, the Doom Patrol or the Legion of Doom. Like, I don't want that, where it's like, okay, episode 10, you have Cliff standing right across from Mala, and you have Jane and the Brain, and you have, like, all these other characters that have been, like, Clarion the Witch Boy. Like, you have these characters who have been recruited, and that's where it ends. And then we get season 4, per se, and episode one, they defeat him within 15 minutes. And then it's like, all right, we hate each other. Let's go back to the house where there's sex ghosts.
Yeah.
That's like, that's a problem to me. And I like the show. And I'm saying that because, you know, I'm going to watch it every Thursday. And I can't say that about a lot of shows. But I really think they need to kind of structure it a little bit better. I'm all for chaos, but it needs to go somewhere. And I don't actually see this going somewhere in three episodes.
No, I don't either.
But, so let's geek grade it. And then I've got a follow-up question for you. And then we'll get out of here. Where do you stand with what we've seen so far?
6.5.
Okay, I gave it a 7.1 because I like the villains.
Lately we've been kind of hovering around the same.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like 0.5 off usually, which is cool. Like, I like that we're on the same page with things until we get to, like, you know, a Nicolas Cage movie where he's protecting the port of New Orleans and you give it a 10.11.
That movie's great. You know? I'm sorry.
I know. James Gunn loves it too, so... You don't have to be sorry, but I have one question for you.
All right.
So we've been talking a lot about shows on streaming channels, and maybe this is just a prelude into a bigger episode. But at this point in the game, do you see this kind of being the death of network television for you? You know, we've kind of reviewed like Disney Plus shows and Netflix shows, and we haven't reviewed a straight to network television show in quite some time. Why Last Man is exclusively to FX on Hulu. I think Dave is now too. Is this the death of network television? Are we at the point where it's like our parents only watch network television?
I mean, I still do. Certain shows.
What do you watch?
Survivor.
Okay.
Law and Order, Organized Crime.
Okay.
I watch that with my wife. And then all the CW stuff. But I don't see the CW superhero stuff lasting much longer.
No. I mean, I gave up on most of it already.
See, the problem with the CW stuff is, and like, I'm just going to be real quick about this. 6-7 years ago, Arrow, whenever Arrow came out, we were so high praised on it because there wasn't a lot of superhero stuff out. Now it's everywhere.
And they didn't catch up.
Yeah, exactly. They plateaued like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have DC stuff now. You have Netflix is doing like Umbrella Academy and... all that stuff. And then we got
The Boys.
And The Boys and on Amazon and all the Disney Plus stuff. Like, there's so much stuff out there, superhero content right now, that's in our genre, that the network stuff just kind of floats out there. Like,
it really does.
You know, majority of my stuff is genre. Like I said, like Survivor and some of the NBC stuff. Like, I'll watch periodically the Chicago fires and stuff with my wife, but I don't follow it.
Yeah. But, like, think about that for a second. Like, all those shows are available on their respective streaming platform.
They are.
Yeah, you can get Peacock for free and watch Major Crimes the next day. Paramount Plus for, what, $5? And you can watch Survivor the next day. Like, we're at a point where... we can name two or three shows that we watch on network television. Like, are you tuning into Survivor the day it's on?
No.
Exactly. You know, like, when I was thinking about this, the only reason I asked this is because I was thinking about it last night. And, like, if it weren't for sports, I think I'd just cut the cord. Like, I have every streaming site. I have every single one of them. You know, I got... Discovery Plus. You know, what the hell am I doing with Discovery Plus? But I have it. And the only thing I watch on network television besides sports is Holy Moly.
You watch that?
I love it. Love it. I'm a big mini golf guy. So, and I like Rob Riggle. And Jeopardy. That's it. Because I like to keep my brain sharp.
Yeah. I mean, I watch Jeopardy not religiously, but maybe once or twice a week.
Oh, and Judge Judy. But she's about to go to IMDb TV, so, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. I just, maybe this is a, that's a loaded question to ask 5 minutes left of our show, but I just wanted to see where you're at. I think that we are slowly on the cusp of more people cutting the cords and just getting streaming services, because at this point in the game, I feel like I'm paying two cable bills, my cable bill and all my streaming sites.
Well, the problem is, in our area, is I'm a huge Phillies fan. And the only way to watch Phillies game is you have to have Comcast.
Lies.
Yeah.
Lies. That's a lie.
How?
All you need is, what's it called? My team's NBC Sports.
Oh, really?
Yep, you can watch it on your phone. You can just connect it to the phone, connect it to the TV and you're good to go.
You don't have to pay for that.
I don't believe so. I didn't pay for it.
Yeah, but you have Comcast.
Yeah, but it's on my phone.
Did you?
I didn't have to enter my cable information.
I'll have to look into that.
The only thing I can't get on there is the birds.
Yeah, but...
I have ways of watching sports without cable. I don't know. It's just something to ponder.
Yeah, definitely.
Something to ponder. You know, maybe at some point we'll do the streaming wars and what network has or what streaming site has the best content. But that's it, man. We're gonna get out of here. We're gonna cut this one short, because we go any longer, I'm gonna be talking about Doom Patrol really bad. We'll be back next week, and I'm excited for this one, because we're breaking down the next Marvel movie that's not the Eternals. We are going to be talking about Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I don't know where I stand with my excitement for this, but it's coming out, and I'm gonna see it, because I have to see it. And I'm excited to see more Tom Hardy, because I haven't seen him in a very long time. So watch Venom this upcoming weekend. Hopefully you can get to the theaters. And if you're going to the theaters, be super safe. Wear a mask, social distance, do the whole thing so you don't get COVID. We'll be back next week with that. Follow us on social media. Follow all the shows on the network. Follow Chuck on Instagram, Chuck_TheActiveGeek. Yeah, we've got a lot coming out, buddy, and I'm excited for it. But that's it, man, for the Active Geek Podcast. I am Jim.
I'm Chuck.
And we are out.